since it's a straw poll.
This is certainly moot now, but when I listened to Jabari talking about people have the opportunity to join if they want to, this is about race. And if Jabari had been a white man saying that, I would have jumped all on him. I know I would have. Yeah, we got the opportunity, but where's an organization? We're supposed to go get folks. That's what NBC and ABC and everybody say. They can come and apply if they want to. If you are interested in diversity, you not only have to be there, but you have to make that first step sometime. And I thought that's what we were. I've been saying this for months. It just still surprises me, some of the things that this organization says. I'm sorry, and it disappoints me. I don't know that what Carol was saying and what I think this is a technicality about this, who can vote for whom, that didn't come across strongly enough when you made your presentation, that people could vote for not only their constituents, but who they thought the group they're in, but they could vote for others too. To me, those two things aren't mutually exclusive. And I think we're here to guarantee that everybody, I thought that's what we're supposed to do, that everybody has a voice. You look around this room, you see who's, if we lived in a place that things really, that things rose up from the bottom, then, yeah, I do have a fear that this is going to be the same kind of organization most of them are in this country. It's going to be a white male-run organization if we don't do some of the things that the constituency model is suggesting. I'm sorry. We're represented here by the people who could afford to come here, but when you go back to your different areas and you see the zip codes and the people who pledge, I wonder if it would be the same. I don't know. I know in New York it's not. I know we have a large percentage of colored people who don't come to these meetings who listen to WBAI. So, you know, it's maybe if the constituency model had been less cumbersome, maybe it would have worked. I don't know.
Leslie? I just wanted to add to this that if we look at this body here, we have no Asians, we have no Latinos, no Native Americans, no Arabs. We have some young people, but no youth. We have no people with disability. I'm including the young people. And if I mean, I'm sorry to pick on you, Jabari, on this, but if I apply you model, I would say that we could get rid of the requirement that it be 50% set aside for women or people of color. Because we could tell everybody, the game is open, you want to participate, just come in. So in a way, there's a contradiction between doing so and saying that the other step is not necessary. Well,
can I read?
Yeah.
I mean, believe me, I feel y'all. Okay, believe me, because one of the things in D.C. is we just trying to get some black folks to come out and be on the LAB. So, and there are a lot of black folks in D.C., but they don't want to have anything to do with actually coming out on a meeting once a month and doing some real things, or they got some other things to do. But again, the real crux of this thing to me is, first of all, Pacifica Foundation is a corporation. It's not a country. We have a product that we are supposed to produce, which is right now what goes out on the air. That's why people listen. That's why people come to the network. They don't come because they got a certain number of people that look a certain way. They come because they heard something on the air and they keep listening. My concern is that the people who really show concern for any organization are the people who show up for the organization. What I want to focus on are getting people who have the skills, qualifications, desire, will, and time to put into making this organization what it claims it wants to be. I would rather have the board, the national board, and the LABs be or Martians if they would actually fulfill the mission better than humans would do, because the humans would get the benefit out of it.
It doesn't happen that way, though.
I know it doesn't, but I'm just trying to be philosophically pure and consistent. That's all. I'm trying to be philosophically pure and consistent. I mean, I hear exactly what you say, and I get mad because more black people in Washington don't come out and participate, but that's not on the process. That's on the people. So what I have to do is get the people to be more into the process.
And you put shows on the air that deal with issues they care about.
I'm not blaming anybody.
You do programming
I'm just trying to philosophically say, look, it's a hard problem, and I don't know the answer to it. But I'm just trying to say is that this discussion to me demonstrates that the more variables you put into the problem, or the more variables you put into the problem, you increase the complexity, and you can ensure that you will get less than the optimum solution if you can even find a solution. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, thank you, Troy. Okay, so where are we? I think this remains a controversial issue.
But did we reach a majority view that we are for two classes on this board?
Yes.
I think was very clear.
All right.
That we for at least two classes.
Yeah.
Staff and non-staff.
Staff and listeners, sponsors.
Listed sponsors and staff.
Yeah.
But I think that there still is a question about.
Didn't we vote?
I'm sorry. You're right. We did. We did vote on. Yeah. Again, I want to remind people we're taking straw polls.
We're not.
We're going to come back to all this tomorrow. Let me just clarify. The reason why this is valuable to do, even though we're going to come back to it tomorrow. First of all, we're not going to get through it all today. But secondly, is that the stuff that we have gotten through, the parts that we've identified as not controversial, will go much faster tomorrow, so we can zero in on.
Fearless leader, did we decide? We decided we'd rather have at least two. Did we decide only two?
Yes, we did.
Good.
Most people voted for only two. Okay.
But does that mean that when we revisit this, that's what the point we'll revisit it from?
We'll revisit. We'll start from two and then open up the question again. You know, and the floor.
So we can bring these issues up again.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. That's my understanding of how a straw poll works.
Yeah.
In any issue, you come back to
it. We didn't make a decision.
Right. It's not a binding decision.
We're just
okay. So why don't we move on? Because folks, it's 4:05. I mean, this is a very important section we're on, but it's still only Article 3. So
we're now at the two classes defined. So we should go to where they are defined, which is in the.
A, right, A, list of members.
No,
list
in
of
B,
members.
It's in B and
no,
KPFT
I mean
and E.
When I said A, I mean Article 3, Section 1, Point A.
Right.
List of sponsor members. It's on page 4. Page 4 of 52, right in the middle there, it says list of sponsor members, and the B version and the E version both have definitions.
Right.
Actually, so does C, only it's on the starts on the preceding page.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, so it's in the middle. Oh, my God, there's a mistake in the grid.
No.
No, because you had said you had one class, so you,
exactly.
I put that. All right. So.
And also, example D from the KPFK committee. It does propose a definition of the first of two classes.
All right.
Okay. Can somebody summarize? Yeah, okay. Start.
All right. In the KPFA model, which is B, going over to page 4, listener sponsor members shall be any natural person who within each of the three preceding 12-month periods, that's 3 years, has contributed a minimum $25 donation to any Pacifica radio station or such minimum amount as the Board of Directors may from time to time decide, or has volunteered a minimum of 3 hours work to any Pacifica radio station. There should be a footnote here that this is to be phased in. The first 2 years, it would be an only 1 year membership requirement. The third year, it would be a 2 year, and the fourth year, we would go to the 3 year membership requirement. That is version B. Version C.
Let me just clarify something.
Yeah,
first, one question I know I have. Is the proposal here a minimum of 3 hours work over a 3 year period?
No, in any All right, there's a colon here. Who, within each of the three preceding 12-month periods, has one or two? There should be a two there.
Oh, I see.
So each of the preceeding 3 years, you would have to have volunteered a minimum of 3 hours. Those are the people who come in and answer the phones during fund drives and do packing and shipping, the premiums and other volunteer work that goes on at the station. Those would be qualified listener-sponsored members under version B. Under version C, a qualified station sponsor is A, any specifically identified individual who has paid a minimum sponsorship of $25 within the past year, or B, any specifically identified volunteer who has volunteered at least 10 hours of work to their designation station within the past year. So that we're on page 3.
For C and D, have to refer back to page 3. Of the small grid.
This grid.
I don't know what it's, if it's different from the big grid.
I don't think it's different.
I didn't think it was. Excuse me. It may at some point become different because the small grid has 52 pages and the large grid has 70 pages. So for now it may not be different, but at some point it may be different.
And I'm sorry.
It's Article 3.
We're on Article 3, Members of the Foundation, Proposal C, Section 1. A qualified voting station sponsor is A, any specifically identified individual who has paid a minimum sponsorship of $25 within the past year, or B, any specifically identified individual volunteer who has volunteered at least 10 hours of work to their designated station within the past year, or C, but this that C would be the second class that we'll come back to, which is the staff. And D would also be staff, and then we have E, in order to be a qualified voting station sponsor and thus a corporate member of Pacifica, one must designate affiliation with one. All right, that's equivalent to some other provisions in the other models. We'll come back to that. All right, now going to Proposal D, which comes from the KPFK committee. This will not be on the large grid, perhaps, because that proposal's been revised. Members shall be any natural person who, within the preceding 12 months, has contributed a minimum of $25 donation to any Pacifica radio station or such minimum amount as the Board of Directors may from time to time decide, or has volunteered a minimum of 3 hours' work to any Pacifica radio station, and two, has returned a signed membership registration card stating that he or she has read and supports the purposes of Pacifica Foundation. The registration card shall have printed on it the purposes of the Pacifica Foundation and shall be mailed to persons eligible for membership upon receipt of the minimum donation or volunteer hours. And moving to the KPFT Proposal E, listener sponsor members shall be any natural person who, within the preceding 12 months, has contributed a minimum of $25 donation to any Pacifica radio station, or such minimum amount as the Board of Directors may from time to time decide, but not to exceed 10 times the federal minimum hourly wage, or who has volunteered a minimum of 3 hours' work to any Pacifica radio station, and two, has returned a signed membership registration card stating that he or she has read and supports the purposes of the Pacifica Foundation. The registration card shall have printed on it the purposes of the Pacifica Foundation and shall be mailed to persons eligible for listener sponsor membership upon receipt of the minimum donation or volunteer hours worked or mailed at the same time as the ballots for the first election following adoption of these bylaws. Does everybody understand the distinctions? In version A, there is no registration card, but there is a 3-year membership requirement that gets phased in over 4 years. In version A, the work time for volunteers is 3 hours. In version C, it is also 3 hours. In version D, I believe it's 10 hours. It's 3 hours. Mm-hmm. All right. And it's 3 hours in all of them.
3 hours.
Except for Dave.
And in the pack version, it's essentially like Fertig, which is C. It's 5 hours.
Okay.
All right. Anybody want to speak for any of these?
Yeah.
I've always been fascinated by the notion of the signed back card, whatever you call it, you know, where you check off or something, because one fundamental practical implication of that is the notion that you're going to send ballots out to those that have expressed an acknowledgement and an interest in exercising their duties as a voting sponsor. One of the problems with it is it's a deterrent. It's an actual practical, it's a hurdle to impose that upon somebody saying you can't vote unless you sign this thing up and send it back, and there's a problem of having to pay the extra postage and the stuff gets lost in the mail and there's a dispute. But there's also the advantage of having that as an acknowledgement of the duty to do that, and as an identification of the specific voter. So you're not just sending out a ballot to everybody that sends in their $25 or does some volunteer work. So I'm just curious how the board feels about that, because I'm of two minds. I see the practicality, I see the problems.
Well, if I can call myself, at first when I saw that proposal, I was kind of intrigued by it. I sort of read it as a proposal to try and safeguard. So I thought this is one of the examples of a safeguarding proposal, that is, safeguard against, you know, the Moonies or the right wing, you know, someone signed something. But of course, that's not a safeguard. Anybody who really wants to use the voting vehicle as a way to take us over, well, they'll sign the cards. You know, people lie all the time, so they'll lie. So it became a little less interesting to me because it doesn't really help us in that way. I think the real challenge that we have is to have programming and practice, that is the work of this foundation, whether it's on air or off air, be such that the people who are drawn to it, who want to be members, who want to vote, you know, are drawn because of the content, because of what they're hearing, what they're seeing us do, and who we are in the world. So I don't think that mechanism of having that kind of registration card or, you know, sign up really helps us. And I agree with David that it could be, you know, a bit of a deterrent and an encumbrance that we don't really need. So I'm inclined to not want to have that. So that's my thought on that proposal.
I'm just curious, then how would people register to vote? How would the...
Well, I actually think that if we have these definitions that you give a certain amount of money, and in one of them there's a cap on how much you can give, that if you give a certain amount of money or you do a certain amount of volunteers, that we keep records of who's giving the money and who's volunteering, and the ballot goes out to them.
Yeah, that's
and
the membership.
And you know who wants to vote by who fills out the ballot and sends it back. That's how you know who wants to vote, by who votes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If that's the case, then how do you give them the ballot and know that they want to vote that way as opposed to...
I'm sorry. I'm out of order. I shouldn't have called on you. We're only trying to take comments when something isn't clear on the grid or we're confused about some proposal or something like that. We're not, you know, we're trying to have the time here for us to talk.
All right. So, KPFA has conducted two elections using this. We take our subscribers list and we send them ballots. And those ballots that come back are the ballots that get counted. You're a registered voter if you've sent in your $25. Or if you are on the volunteers list, which is kept at the station. And it's worked just fine. We know who our members are because we have a list at the station. Every station has a list of its donors. I'm sure we all get mail from the station all the time. They know who we are and our mailing address. I want to say about the membership card. That was in the original KPFA draft and then came out. And I'm of two minds about it, too. I think it's educational. I think it tells our members...
Yeah, I have a membership card, yeah.
I think the registration card, where you send it out...
Oh, registration card.
When you send your $25 in, you get from the station, here's your membership voting registration card.
Okay, are you making a distinction between voter's registration card and a membership card?
No. Let me be clear. In some of these proposals, you have to do more than give money to be a member.
Let me just clarify. I think the question comes from, if I might, the fact that at BAI, we don't have registrations for elections because we haven't had elections, but we get a membership card. The membership card has to do with the stations that haven't had elections yet.
Right.
And we get a little card that says we're a member of BAI.
I'm sorry,
that's the confusion. What she's talking about is
a legal
member. In a situation where because you are a member, you have a right to vote, right, which we don't have at BAI yet. So that's called the registration card.
Let me be clear. Member has been used in Pacifica to refer to people who gave money but who didn't have any rights.
Yes. Right.
Member, in the legal sense, means somebody who has rights.
Okay.
So we're going to redefine the word member to not be the person who has the WBAI membership card in their wallet, but the person who has the right to vote in the election. And those people would be defined differently according to these different proposals. One of them says not only do you have to give money, but you also need to, after you give the money, we'll send you a registration card that says, that has the purposes of Pacifica printed on it, and you sign something that says, I've read this, and I support this mission, and you send it back, and that's what makes you a voting member. That's the proposal.
Carol, do you really believe in loyalty oaths?
I didn't say I supported this proposal. I'm saying that it is educational to our members as to what the purposes are, and to the extent that it might in any way, shape, or form say that the people who vote for the governing bodies of Pacifica actually support its purposes, I think that would be good. But as Leslie says, people lie all the time.
There's a lot of, to my mind, there are several things going on in this conversation. We have membership cards that give us certain privileges in New York.
That has nothing to do with
it. Okay, so we don't want to confuse that in this.
No.
Now, one thing you said, that listeners didn't have any rights. They had rights and they voted with their pocketbooks, and that's one reason we're here. So they did have something to say.
Legal rights.
But legal rights to vote.
Okay.
Legal rights to influence decisions of this organization.
And that's what this card will give you.
Becoming a member, listener sponsor member, means that you have a vote as to who sits on either the local board or the national board or both or one, depending on which proposal we end up with. You have a vote.
Listen, I think this has gotten a little more confusing than it might be, really. What I think we all are agreeing that one of the outcomes of the struggle of the last few years is that we want people who are involved with the station as listeners, as volunteers, to have a direct role in the governance structure, particularly in the electoral process, to be able to vote. Now, whether they get a membership card or a registration card, whatever the mechanism is, you know, that's really a detail. The principle is that once we define who a member is, that member has a right to vote, right? That's what we're trying to figure out here. Then another layer after that is, how do we recognize those people? How do we know who those people are? Do they have to sign something and send that back to us? Or is the check that they sent in or the volunteer hours that they logged in, is that enough to recognize that they're on our voter rolls now?
I think that's
the only distinction. Another variation on this, for instance, could be that when somebody comes in to volunteer or sends in their check, they are given a copy of the mission. They're given a copy of the bylaws. They're given whatever we want to give them. Yeah. They don't have to sign anything, but they're just given all that for educational purposes.
Right.
Fearless leader, might I suggest a straw poll to indicate those of us who agree that by a person qualifying as a sponsor, that they be sent a ballot, or do they need to check off something in order to do so? Would that be...
Okay,
can I say something before that, though? Because, in fact, what I had in mind was a broader definition. I mean, none of those definitions include the possibility for people in jail to participate. In New York City, we have some very dynamic programs dealing with people who are incarcerated. We're talking about a society that is based on injustice.
They've got a...
And therefore, we do not accept the definition.
No, I'm sorry. Ray, further down in point D, there's waiver of requirements.
For specific incarcerated and hardships.
So it speaks to what you're
Fine.
Talking about there.
So then I would still add that I'm proposing another category that would be for people who cannot afford to.
Yeah.
But
waivers
down there.
Let's get to waivers later.
I'm not finished though. I'm saying that people would not be asked to prove that they cannot ask. So therefore, it will not be handled on a case-by-case basis. So therefore, I'm suggesting that we do use a card and that people simply by registering that card and would also by voting in a special way indicate their intention to participate seriously into the system.
So you're in favor of the card.
Let me try and clarify this. I think what David suggested as a way of just clearing the table so we can focus in on stuff, that we take a straw poll on whether or not a mechanism is needed for people to register. That is, they'd be sent the card and sign something and send it back, whether or not we need that. In other words, is one alternative is that we send something to people to register, for whether they're volunteers, whether they're incarcerated, whether they pay X amount of money, that they would have to sign something to register to be on the ballot, on the voting rolls. The other alternative is that we don't. That by the fact that they've given money or volunteered, or for those people who can't give money or can't volunteer, there'd be some other mechanism to sign them up, that's enough for them to be on the voting rolls.
Well,
those are the two.
What about is all the members, people who are members, get a letter from you saying you are a member of you're entitled to vote.
Exactly. The question is, again, there are two basic ideas here. One is, if anybody meets the requirement of membership, a financial contribution, a volunteer contribution, or they're in one of the waivered categories, incarcerated, whatever it might be, one way of becoming a member is just by doing that, by volunteering, by giving the money, whatever. Another idea is that once somebody has done that, they are then also asked to sign something to register to be included in the voting rolls. Those are the two general ideas, right?
Right.
Once we get our preference, then we can figure out details within it. Okay?
All right.
Can we take a straw poll then? Jabari. George,
the purpose of the bylaws, that issue of election stuff doesn't need to come under this section because all you're doing is defining members. You're not defining the election process. So you're throwing something into this section that isn't
no, that's not true.
Isn't right. part of it.
Yeah. I would to clarify, I would disagree with that technically. I think on a legal basis, one contention would be that you become a member by qualifying to be a member. The other contention would be that you only become a member whereby once you've qualified, you have then done the second act of signing off a card and sending it in order to become a legal voting member of the corporation. And it's a vital thing to be very specific as to what it takes. So, yeah, is it an automatic membership or is it only a membership upon your signature and remitting the card back? So it is something that would need to be in the bylaws in order to be able to clearly and unambiguously define who is in fact a member. And at what stage a membership accrues.
Okay, let's take a straw poll. Okay, well, and it's easy to take a straw poll by doing one thing and seeing what the show of hands is. So I'm going to start with all those who support that you become a member and eligible to vote simply by doing the qualifying act, giving money, volunteering, or being in a waivered, group. And then that's enough to put you on the voting list. All those who support that. Oh, okay, folks.
I think we can move on.
It's unanimous.
Yeah. Can we have back the last 20 minutes?
They voted.
There's another.
It's unanimous. I'm sorry, Carol.
There is another distinction whether we want to phase in a year's period.
Well, again, Carol, we didn't get into the details. There are a lot of details. Amounts, phase-in, how many...
Well, do we want a three-year requirement or a one every year? That's the question.
Well, I suggest that we not do that right now.
Okay.
Because, but there is one other detail that I would like to try and see right now. There's in point E, in proposal E, there's a cap on how much people can give. Unless I'm misreading that, it says, or such minimum amount as the board of directors may from time to time decide, but not to exceed 10 times the federal minimum hourly wage.
No, that's the cap on the minimum.
Oh, okay.
The board of directors.
Sorry, okay, forget it. Okay, next. Sorry. Never mind.
Leslie? Just for a moment, it looks like the board is walking into the same thing that all the bylaws subcommittees have done. Every time you think you've got unity and it gets too long. But I think the listeners and the membership would like to get to the most important things, and that would be the relationship of power between the Pacifica National Board and the stations, a station or labs, whatever you want to call them. And I think that's what...
We want to get there.
Okay,
thank
Tom,
you.
Thank you. We agreed that we're going to get to every item in these bylaws. This section
weekend.
Of who's a member is very important. Folks, let me just say that I will work on this, I will try to think about our agenda for this weekend and see if we can open up more time. Maybe make some other agenda items shorter because, you know,
get rid
whatever.
Of
them. We're going to have to figure that out. Okay, the next, can we flip the page? And we go to staff members, right? That's what we're on. We're on
right.
The staff members category.
I'll read them. All
okay.
right. There are two versions that have staff members are defined in the KPFA proposal as staff members shall be, one, any non-management permanent paid employee of a Pacifica radio station or any unpaid worker or volunteer who has worked for any Pacifica radio station at least 15 hours in the preceding 3 months or at least 30 hours in the preceding year. That one up there should not be there. So what we've got is any non-management permanent paid employee or any unpaid worker or volunteer who has worked for any Pacifica radio station at least 15 hours in the preceding 3 months or at least 30 hours in the preceding year. Going to Fertig's model, we have a definition for staff that reads like this. Current paid employees of Pacifica or current unpaid employees of Pacifica. An unpaid employee is any specifically identified individual who has performed at least 25 hours of assigned work within the preceding 3 months or 50 hours of assigned work within the preceding 6 months for any Pacifica station, archives, or national office. Confirmation of hours of assigned work performed is to be provided to the member in writing by an authorized representative of the entity which assigned the work. Going to KPFK committee, they don't have a staff definition. In the KPFT proposal, we do have a staff definition. It is, staff members shall be any non-management permanent paid employee of a Pacifica radio station or any unpaid staff member or volunteer who, one, has worked for any Pacifica radio station at least, confusing here whether we've got 9 or 5 hours per week in the preceding, confusing here, 3 or 6 months, and two, has returned a signed membership card, which we're not going to talk about that again because we already talked about it. So those are the options. Is it anybody? Yeah, we've got paid and unpaid staff in both. The hours requirements are...
different. That's the difference.
Are the difference. I will say that the KPFA unpaid staff volunteer definition, I got by asking our unpaid staff organization that exists already at the station who gets to vote in matters that come before their unpaid staff organization, and that's who they were. So I've just been consistent with what's already going on inside KPFA with staff matters. And it may be very different at other stations, so we don't...
Might I suggest that there's really not that much controversy here, mm-hmm. right? Whether it's 3 hours a week or 5 hours a week. I mean, this is not a principled issue,
no.
right? So, and everybody who speaks to this question says, includes paid staff and non-paid staff. So there's no controversy there
right.
either. So can we say we're on the same page, basically, here?
I have one question, though. How about if this language is in contradiction to a pre-existing language of union members?
What? Union members would be members.
We'd have to figure out the relationship of this to any union contracts.
And I'll note that we were told earlier today that the union requires, I think it's 10 hours a month, 20 hours in 2 months.
BAI,
that's the only union contract that has unpaid staff included in it. So, that's my understanding.
But again, these are not controversial issues. Right. These are not matters of principle. We can work that out. Here's the issue. It's like 4:30.
Dinner's at 5.
Yeah, we have to wrap this up. What I'd like to do, there are two other issues here, single membership and waiver of requirements. I don't think either of these are going to be that controversial.
Let's
see if they are. And then we have to end for today, and I'm going to have to do some magic work tonight to try and figure out the weekend's agenda.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Both of these proposals say that a membership shall be defined by radio station area. If you send in money to KPFT and KPFA, which I happen to do, I have to choose which station I'm going to vote in. I can't be a member of both. Is that controversial, or do we think
no.
we should? Okay, no. Non-controversial.
One station, one person.
Right.
So it's a single membership, and also in the KPFA proposal, it says if you qualify as both a staff member and a listener sponsor member, you are deemed to be a staff member. You vote in the staff election. That's your membership. Is that controversial?
Well. You said you send money to KPFA and KPFT?
I happen to send money to all five stations because I just like them all.
I would assume that unless you're an internet listener, that you would have to be living in the area, the listening area, so that I would put you in KPFA.
It's not here in this.
KPFA automatically.
No. Again, especially with the internet listeners now, people don't have to listen in any of the areas. They can identify. But I think that's not controversial that people can only vote in one listening area.
Even if you don't live in that listening area?
If you're an internet subscriber, you're a member.
Yeah.
So I'm saying in your case, you
Forget where I live.
It would apply whether or not you listen on the radio or listen on the internet or go to Mars and listen. It doesn't matter. Okay, you only can vote in one listening area.
And
that's not controversial. I think there's agreement there. Then there's a second part from the KPFA proposal, which says, should you qualify both as a listener sponsor member and a staff member, that you would automatically be voting in the staff member grouping in that class.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's not controversial?
All right. Is that controversial?
No.
All right, moving on. Waiver of requirements. A local station board may choose to waive the gift requirement for listener sponsor memberships for reason of financial hardship for anyone who, due to incarceration or disability, cannot volunteer his or her time.
I have a question there. Is there an or? Is there a typo? Is there an or before for anyone?
No.
Are you saying that for a financial hardship or for anyone?
I don't.
What's the difference? For reasons of him, for anyone.
For anyone who do.
No. I don't believe there's a typo there.
I will read it again. A local station board may choose to waive the gift requirement for listener sponsor membership for reasons of financial hardship for anyone who, due to incarceration or disability, cannot volunteer his or her time.
I guess the question I'm asking is that the waiver of financial hardship only applies to those categories.
That's
only
correct.
If you're incarcerated.
In this proposal,
but not to an individual who could show that they cannot pay. Those would be excluded.
In this proposal, that's all it says. If you want to add another category.
Right. It's saying if you are financially unable to contribute, we are requiring that you come down to the station and volunteer in order to be a member, unless that's impossible for you to do.
Fearless leader.
Okay. Yeah, go on. Good.
The microphone.
What he's saying is he wants to increase that, to widen that, so that it's not just somebody who's disabled. You don't have to just be disabled or in jail, that there needs to be wider than that. Isn't that what you mean?
Well,
we just can't afford it.
I understand what he's saying. He's saying, if I say I would like to vote, but I can't afford it, the local board could say, yeah, Carol, we would like you to vote too, and we know you can't afford it, so we're waiving the requirements. And I don't need to come in and... they don't need to ask me to come in and volunteer.
The language doesn't reflect what you just said, though.
No, that's what Ray was proposing.
That's not what the language is. The language doesn't say that.
And there is a very, very big difference between saying we want your money or your time, unless you can't do it. And you're saying we want your money or your time, but if you can't do it, we don't really want it. You can vote. Is that
okay,
it?
Okay, Jabari.
There's a fundamental flaw in this thing. The station boards cannot determine membership.
They can choose to waive the requirements.
But how can that be? That's a delegation of authority. You are a member of the foundation. You're not a member. You're a member of the foundation that happens to be designated to a local area.
Now, that's one of your duties as a station board here.
You're a member of the foundation. You're not a member of the local station board. When you apply to money, when you get money, you're a member of the Pacifica Foundation. The station board has nothing to do with determining your membership. Your membership is determined by your contribution to the foundation per a local listening area. So the station board has no authority to determine anything to do with membership. You have to apply for hardship to the foundation because your membership is with the foundation, not with the station listening board.
Okay, I get your point. And what the foundation does in these bylaws is delegate that decision to the local station board in the bylaws.
That's why it would have to be in the bylaws, I believe, the foundation would have to be able to delegate. I mean, the only way this could happen is if the foundation is delegating to the local boards the right to offer waiver.
Not the right, the power.
The authority to offer waiver. Then that's what this proposal does.
But that's,
it seems to me.
That's,
maybe the language isn't clear enough, but that's what the,
but
I think the intent is.
That's.
Somebody has to make the decision. It could be the national board.
Okay.
Or it could be the local board.
Plus, I thought the local boards were the ones who implemented the election.
But the point is, see, this is the distinction. You can be a member and have no desire to vote. Membership is not predicated on voting. Membership is predicated on those criteria you set up for membership.
Exactly, we agree.
So it has nothing to do with whether you want to associate with a station board or anything. You associate with the station. And see, this is where people get the confusion. You are a member of the foundation. You're not a member of the station board. Whether there's a station board or not, the station is still going to be there.
Okay, let me just, again, it may not be in the right place. It may not be the right language. But I think the intent here is to be able to offer the possibility that if somebody doesn't have the money and doesn't have the wherewithal to contribute time, that waivers would be allowed so that they can still be considered members and still have the right to vote.
I took this language directly out of the KFAI bylaws.
Okay, but I'm saying even if it has to be in another place, can we speak to the principal now? Do we think, if we have to sharpen the language or move it to another part of the bylaws, do we agree that such a waiver should be possible, whatever the mechanism is of issuing the waiver? Do we agree that such a waiver should be possible? That's what we're really asked to consider now. George was next, and then Teresa.
I say yes.
And you say yes.
And Chair, I say no.
Yeah.
I say no. And the reason I say no is because I think it's liberal. I think it's a sort of a slippery slope thing. Well, we'll we'll give the local station board the power to anoint certain individuals with membership, whether or not they can or say they can pay or otherwise qualify, and maybe not anoint others with that. I think similarly, you know, look, I've been poor and I've been incarcerated, and at no time have I been unable to, well, except when I was incarcerated, to volunteer a few hours or come up with 10 or 20 bucks to become a member of something. And I don't, frankly, I'm not persuaded that this provision really is necessary, and I think that, you know, in order for us to have an accountable, look, the reason we're having these elections, the reason we're doing this is to create accountability within the organization. Do we lack accountability because of the number of people that who are that are so indigent and so otherwise preoccupied with their day-to-day survival that they cannot muster 25 bucks or 10 hours to volunteer for a station? Well, and that's in a matter of opinion. And I personally feel that accountability can be secured amongst those of you here and those of us out there who are able to do those very nominal requirements for qualification and membership. And to create a dynamic wherein a local board then has the power to create whole bodies of electoral votes, whole bodies of votes by their political fiat and endowing these people with a vote because they decided that they'll let them do it, then you create a very slippery slope, I think, and I caution us against creating that kind of political power.
Okay, Rob. Rob.
Chair, maybe if we just have language that said that waiver may be granted to do that and then not go into any detail on what the mechanism is, that can be worked out as a part of operating procedures and guidelines.
Right, right. I think at some point we'll have to work out language. Mm-hmm.
That's a lawyer's question then.
Right, but can we decide on the principle? Right, because David is suggesting that this should not be included, whatever the language is, wherever it goes. David is suggesting that there not be waivers. So can we have a straw poll to see whether or not we agree, whatever the fine details are, which would have to be worked out with lawyers and et cetera, should there be the possibility of waivers based on, on these
hardship.
Okay, call it hardship, whatever you want to call it.
Circumstances.
I personally don't like the word hardship. I mean, a lot of people who don't have a lot of money lead very full, vigorous lives. But anyway. Just the concept that waivers are allowable, and then we'll work out details.
All right.
Okay, all those who support the concept of waivers being... I mean, even within that, excuse me, even if you're in prison, you could volunteer, right? You could pass out the folio to other prisoners, right? There's lots of ways. There's lots of ways to define volunteering. There's lots of ways to deal. We're not talking about the details now. We're talking about the concept that waivers can be that the idea of waivers should be incorporated into the bylaws, and we'll have to work out the details later about what the waivers are and who has the power or the authority to offer the waiver.
Right.
Okay. Okay. So all those in favor of including the concept of waivers, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Hey, he went out of the room. Okay, it's a straw poll. Don't worry. And all those opposed. Two. Okay, so it's yes.
Okay.
There is strong support for that. Now it's 4:45. And we need to end because, first of all, we need to. I want to ask them a question, though. It occurred to me as I'm sitting here that one of the things, and I shudder at the potential response here, but one of the things on the agenda for tonight is about an hour and a half, an hour and 45 minutes of listener comment. I don't shudder at that. I shudder at the suggestion I'm going to make or the question I'm going to ask. It's not a question. It's not a suggestion. It's a question to the people in the room who would be speaking during that time. You're all seeing as we're moving through this process that it's slow. It takes time. And there's only 24 hours in a day. I'm asking whether or not you would be open to us eating into some of that time to continue this process, or if you feel the need to keep that whole amount of time. It's a question. I don't want to get into a long debate. I just want to know, not from the board members, but from those of you out there, by a quick show of hands, who would feel okay giving us some of that time. I don't know how much, you know, but some of that time. Huh?
Listener
comment time scheduled for this evening.
Public comment.
Public comment time scheduled for this evening. Who would give? Who would feel okay giving us the time to continue, some of that time, to continue this process that we're engaged in right now? And who would be opposed to that? Okay, so... I understand. I'm just... I said I shudder.
You shouldn't have brought it up.
I mean, there is a kind
of... I don't want...
Okay, I said I shuddered at raising it, but I had to raise it. All right, we can break now. I will consider what to do with the agenda. I've gotten your feedback. I see what the concerns are. And, you know, I'll come back at 6:30. The meeting will begin promptly at 6:30, folks, promptly. And I will announce any... proposed adjustments in the agenda. Okay, thank you. Yeah, we'll meet tonight here, tomorrow here.
I don't know what you're talking about, George, but whatever it is, I'm so
coming back to it.
They're just registered to be a voter.
The question was.
And we just did a direct mail appeal, a national.
I think it was whether
the idea is that those names are supposed to be turned over to local to go on to their list.
Yeah.
Well, most of them are coming out of the city.
But we ended up saying that list responsive members would be some combination. No, this is just describing hers, but it would be some combination of all these kinds of things. And that was the waiver shall be granted. Yeah, but we'll have staff members paid and unpaid. There was agreement. And
hello.